Well, good evening. Welcome. We are looking forward to what the Lord has for us tonight as we gather together in our time of corporate worship. And we have a special opportunity tonight for what we're calling our prayer, praise, and testimony service. And the theme is from young or youth and senior saints. And so we are going to be hearing from the different generations, praying for each other in worship and song and in prayers and praises and some testimonies. Let's read the scriptures on the screen together, starting with young men. Young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, praise for all his saints. And then one generation shall commend your works to another. From generation to generation, we shall recount your praise. And that's what we are looking forward to doing tonight. We are blessed to have multiple generations here in this church. We're blessed to have little toddlers in the back and some walkers in the front and a lot of us somewhere in between. And it is a great joy how God puts the family of Christ together. And it's an important thing for us to be together in times like these. And so we are looking forward to what the Lord has. Let me open our time in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the church. We thank you for Christ who loved the church and gave himself up for her. And Lord, I want to pray for every young person in this room, Lord, that they would grow up to love the church as well. I pray, Lord, for the generations that are behind us and ahead of us, Lord, that you would encourage them as their vital role in the church, Lord. And we think of the psalm that says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. With your mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. And Lord, we thank you that you have shown and will continue to show your faithfulness to all generations. Lord, whether it's some who are teenagers who we'll hear from tonight or those in their 80s and 90s or whatever age or stage of life we are in, Lord, we thank you that you are a faithful and good God. And we need each other in the body of Christ. And I'm so thankful for what you have prepared and allowed for this evening. And I want to ask your special blessing on us in this place and also, Lord, that you would bless your church around the world. And that, Lord, you would use some people in this room to impact others around the world and in our community for the sake of the fame of the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
If you are able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And you can remain standing.
Good evening, church. It is a blessing to be here. Our first song, 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord. Please sing with us as we worship our Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. Amen.
be seated.
Dear Lord, we come before you, and first I want to thank you. We all want to thank you for your goodness to us, for your faithfulness. Lord, as we're celebrating tonight, your body, the people that you've bought by your own blood for your possession, we think about how you have saved people from every generation, from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. We want to thank you for your faithfulness to us. I want to pray specifically for our elderly saints and thank you for your faithfulness to them in bringing them to this point in their lives and following you. We want to also lift up certain requests on behalf of our elderly saints. We want to pray for encouragement. You know, Lord, that as age comes upon us, that many of the things that we used to be able to do we may no longer be able to do them. But, Lord, I pray for our elderly saints that you would remind them by your Spirit, that you would remind them that they are still part of your body and that you have given them gifts by your Spirit to be used to cause us all to come together as your body in unity of mind and unity of the Holy Spirit. I pray that in our body that you would continue to move among the elderly saints and among all of us to come together as your body, that you might be honored and that we might show your glory to the world around us. I also want to ask, in light of a recent passing of many of our brothers in the faith, that you would, if it be your will, your mercy, would grant extended days to all of our saints and the elderly saints in our congregation, that they might serve you even longer. We know that you have all of our days marked for us in your book, but we ask this by your mercy. We thank you once again, Lord, for your kindness to us, and we pray again that through your Spirit that you would cause all of us to be used to show your glory to people in our community who need to hear the gospel. We thank you for all of this, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Obviously, I'm an elderly saint. That's okay. I'm young at heart. Now, I do want to say, I was not asked kindly to do this. I was told by our brother Cliff, and he deserted me tonight, so you can blame him. I want to start with a scripture, and I'll read this so I don't go off on rabbit trails. The Lord gave me, as I kept praying, Lord, what am I going to say? He put on my heart Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O my rock and my redeemer. And first of all, I'd like to ask kids, to me that includes all of you, a question. Do you truly know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I feel in the teenage years especially, the most important thing is to be accepted by your peers. And if they happen to be Christians, that's okay. If they aren't, okay, we want to be accepted. But truly the thing that we want to be accepted mostly and need to be accepted is by Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question. Do you truly know Jesus as your personal Savior? If you do, He is your rock. He is your Redeemer. And you can go through life having fun. And if you're not having fun, that's three quarters of your ministry that you are to do. So let me ask, would you change the way you live if you knew that every word and thought would be examined by God first? What would that do to you? So my prayer for you is this. Lord, I pray that you will draw your young people, all young people, to yourself. Give them a hunger and thirst to know more intimately and a desire to know Christ as their rock and their redeemer. And guys, if you can do that, you can go through life and have fun, and he will grow you, and life will be a joy. And Jesus, I pray all of that in your precious name. Amen.
Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. Honor widows who are truly widows.
Please bow with me. Lord God, we come to you as humble servants, in adoration of your mighty name and your mighty works, Lord. I lift up to you those who have lost a loved one or a spouse and are suffering anguish of loneliness and discontentment, Lord. I pray that you remind them that their strength and their comfort is found in you alone, for you alone can fulfill them and satisfy them. For they have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer they who live, but Christ who lives in them. In the life they now live in the flesh, they live by faith in your Son, whom you sent to die for us, who was forsaken by you in the loneliest place, Lord, and was crushed by his own Father, that we may be embraced into your loving arms as your children, Lord. I pray that they do not fear what is ahead of them, Lord, for you are always with them, guiding them by your right hand. For you are our shepherd, Lord, and we shall not want, but we will trust in your name alone. You guide us in green pastures, lead us beside still waters, and you restore our souls. You lead us in the paths of righteousness for your great glory. Even though we may walk through the shadow of the valley of death, we fear no evil. For it is you who goes before us, and it is you who guides us. You will never leave us, and you will never forsake us, and we shall never be alone, Lord. For you are with us, your rod and your staff, they comfort us. For you are sovereign in all things, and all things are designed for the good of those who trust in your great name. Even the hairs on our head are numbered. How much greater do you care for us? When the righteous cry out, you hear us and deliver us from our troubles, Lord. O Lord, you hear the desires of the afflicted. You will strengthen our hearts. You will incline your ear to each and every one of our needs. Help us to remember that we rejoice in you alone for this great salvation that you've given to us again. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our heads with oil and our cups overflow, Lord. Surely your goodness and your mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the peace of God dwell on those who feel alone and have nowhere else to go, Lord, but you. In your glorious name, amen.
Hi, I have the privilege of praying for the families of our church, so please pray with me. Father, we lift your name in love and humbleness, asking you, Father, to hear our prayers. I pray specifically for our families here at Gold Country. Father, I ask you to give courage to our moms and dads to be examples of your love and wisdom, to raise their children in which would be pleasing to you. I pray our moms and dads would let the word of Christ dwell richly in them, giving them all wisdom in their teaching, guidance, and encouragement. Help our parents to be the testimony by testing all things, holding fast to what is good. Father, I also ask you to give the children humility to be able to obey their parents in all the areas of their household rules. Father, give our children the courage to be strong in your word and to be strong in following it. I pray that daily each family will be committed and willing to put on the whole armor of God in their daily battle with through their daily battle with Satan. Father, sometimes it's hard to be a Christian, and so I ask you, Lord, to help all of us to come alongside of one another, to support one another, to encourage one another, to read the Word, but also think about it, study it, discuss it, and love it. Father, help us all to encourage one another to be strong in moving forward in our walk. I pray, Father, you continue to help our families through their struggles of just keeping up with household expenses, plus dealing with assorted family situations and outside influences that can be challenging to both parents and children as well. When there are times that they might feel too weak to move forward, I pray you remind them of who you are, what you have done for us, and how you will keep us in that very moment. Refresh and renew through strength as they seek to take steps forward to follow your purpose for them. Father, help our children to be able to express themselves and their struggles to their parents. And Father, help our parents to be ready and willing to be there with listening ears, and to have the wisdom and strength to have the ability to admonish their children with sensitivity and grace in their hearts. I pray as a body in Christ, help us to come alongside of our families and be supportive, becoming testimonies of humility and strength to these families, to encourage each to hang in there during difficult times, and yes, in times of celebration as well. And then they will know the God of peace will be with them. Help us, Father, to become more open to the needs of one another and ready to minister to those needs. Help us, Father, to remember as Christian families, we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
We may remain seated for this next song, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, rain from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior.
My name is Chrissy Mahoney. I've been going to Gold Country Baptist for about 2.5 years. and I'm going to tell you a little bit about my testimony. So my parents were married in the Catholic Church, and they were saved later in their adult lives. My sister and I actually went to PCS when it was still Placerville Christian School, and we went there for about until elementary school. And I don't really have a specific moment that I remember being saved. I think it happened more slowly, but I always considered myself saved since PCS. And I do remember a moment when I was very young with my dad saying the prayer of accepting Christ. But I didn't feel the weight of the gospel until after high school when I moved to LA with my sister and started attending Grace Community Church. And that was the first time that I had some really careful leadership and intentional friendships in my life, and that just really redirected my heart toward Christ and grew my faith so much. When we came home, my parents had been coming here, so did we. And it was such a blessing to come back here and reconnect with people like Mrs. Hannah and Mrs. Gilbertson, because they had made such a spiritual impact on my young life. And I'm really grateful for my friends at this church, young and old, which leads me to something that I wanted to speak to you about that's been on my heart, and that is relationships in the church. That's something that we've been studying in our young adult group, is relationships. And we've been doing a study by Paul David Tripp about friendships and relationships. And I just want to read you the passage that's been kind of the focus for the whole study. It's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. I just think that's such a rich passage with so much in it to think about. And it exhorts us to stir one another up to love and good deeds, which is what we've been talking about a lot. Last Friday, we had this really cool picture of an oak tree that he talked about, and how we're all kind of versions of oak trees, and that we start as little saplings when we're young in our faith. But when we're anchored in the foundation of Christ and we grow, and that represents sanctification. And it's important to look at each other as the way that God looks at us, which is like potential oak trees that are really strong and tall. And that's how I see the elder generation in this church, is really strong, anchored oak trees. People like Dean Orr and all of our elders who really make Gold Country what it is, which is a home for the family of God. And I'm so grateful for men and women like Dean and Bonnie Orr and the Laytons and more who have spoken truth into my life and really invested in the spiritual maturity of the younger generation. And there have been so many who have been willing to open up their homes to us for events and things, and sometimes things that don't even seem like they matter very much, just scavenger hunts and stuff that we've done. But it's meant so much to us, and it's given us the opportunity to grow closer and really establish those friendships and fellowship and serve you, which is really cool. So I didn't originally plan on reading this, but I want to read Psalm 73, because how can you give a testimony without giving your life first? So this is Psalm 73, starting in 21. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That verse has been important to me for a very long time. So that's just a little bit about my testimony and about me, what's been on my heart, and about the young adult group a little bit, which I think was really well-timed since we're talking about all the generations in the church. So, I pray that we can take God's word from 2 Peter and from many other books, especially Paul's letters, and apply them to our lives and love for one another.
Well, I also was given a subject. Cliff said, Ely, I want you to talk on the faithfulness of God. And then I want you to talk about hope for the future. I said, oh, okay. So anyway, I hope I don't bore you, because what I've done is I've tried to hop, skip, and jump from when I was born until my age now. The Lord took me through a lot of interesting things. So here we go. August 23rd, 1932, in a house in a farm in Oklahoma, a little baby was born. She was scrawny and weak. She was born with a thyroid deficiency that would trouble her all her life. And very early, she would start to lose her hearing. Oh dear, that didn't sound very encouraging, does it? Well, God had plans for that little kid. And at age 10, that little kid heard a traveling evangelist, and she accepted Christ. I was sitting in the back row playing and had no intention of listening to what that guy was saying. But he got my attention, because what he did was he changed a verse, and I thought he made a mistake. I was a very proud little kid. I had learned a lot of Bible verses, and so I began to listen to him. What he had done is he put his own name into John 3:16. And the Holy Spirit used that to tell me, Edith, you need to have Christ as your Savior. Not just because your mom and dad are Christians, you need to have that personal relationship. So after it was over, I just marched right up the aisle and told my mom I accepted Christ as my Savior. At 14, I remember sitting in home room in school, and I began to think about my life, and I thought, Lord, I want to serve you. So at 14, I dedicated my life to the Lord. At 18, I went to Bible college. And it was a wonderful time. It was in Chicago. It was during the years when there was a lot of upheaval and bombs being thrown into homes. So we were always warned never to go alone. But we had wonderful times. When we got on a streetcar, we'd begin to give our testimony. And as we rode the rail to work down in the inner city, while we would sit and we'd memorize all our verses that we'd been given. And so it was a wonderful time for me to learn, to study. You know, there's a big difference between reading and studying. And so part of my class is here tonight. I teach every Friday, and I try to tell those ladies, you must learn to study, use concordances, use commentaries, and really find out what the Bible says. Well, anyway, my walk with the Lord started there, and let's see. The first thing that happened was after Bible school, I was interested in serving in Canada. So I joined the Island Sunday School Mission. Well, all they did was take you out and dump you off in a village and you had a tent, a cook stove, and a box for your food. And you were on your own. You learned to live the life of faith. So from village to village, I would go, and I had two other girls with me. Neither one could carry a tune. Before we left, I said, Lord, what am I going to do? So I bought an old accordion, and the Lord had given me the ability to plunk out a few tunes on pretty much any instrument. So I had that thing to carry. And then, of course, I had my bedroll and my purse and my suitcase and so forth. As I left the United States and got onto the boat to go over to the island, I said, Lord, I can't carry all this stuff. What am I going to do? Two young men stepped up to me right away and said, may we help you? And so the Lord just did beautiful things to me while I was working up there, in teaching me that he was constantly faithful and meeting my needs. One of the things that happened while we were in these villages was we didn't have a car, so we had to walk from house to house and invite people. And Then we actually had burglars, or people who wanted to frighten us away. We set our camp up in an old place where it was like an old lumber yard, vacant. And so at night, these men would come, and they would thump on our tent, and they would rattle our cook stove and just frighten us terribly. But we were determined not to be frightened away, and so very shakily we'd give our lesson for the next day, or we would sing, or whatever we could do to keep from being frightened out of our wits. So that's one of the villages. Then we moved on to another village, and actually what happened there from those men, we did get away from them. It was a Sunday afternoon, and we decided to walk back into the forest. We bumped into an old gentleman from Switzerland, and he said, I've been watching you girls. We'd heard somebody fall out of a tree one night. Well, it was he. And he said, I think it's all right if you go any place on my land and you can camp. So we went home and broke camp and went way back in the forest. So we got rid of the men, but the mosquitoes almost ate us alive. So then when we went to another camp, it rained for 14 days, and the earwigs moved in. Now, I don't know if you know why they're called earwigs. They crawl into your ears. So we were terrified to go to sleep at night. We'd pull our covers over our head and pray, God, please don't let those things get in our ears. And then we'd take one and we'd tape it to a piece of paper and we'd send it to our folks. We had more fun. Anyway, this went on for quite some time, and it was just marvelous how God provided. We didn't have an income, and so sometimes we'd run out of money. One night, we locked the door and stood there and said, what are we going to do? Well, a car turned around and came back, and this lady said, how do you kids earn your living? We said, well, we just trust God. So she said, I meant to give you this money, and I forgot. And so all the time that I worked in Canada, I never wanted for money. The dollars came in. All right, next, the Lord took me to a completely different field of service. I was asked to take the place of a person who would not only counsel, but care for 14 very disturbed boys. I had never done anything like that in my life. But I had a couple of psychology classes, but I had the Lord and I had the Bible, and so I accepted that position. And so for 3 years, I worked with those kids. I want to share just a couple, because I won't keep you all night, I promise. But it's so interesting to see how that God gave me the wisdom and the knowledge just when I needed it. They were very, very disturbed children. One of them, a 12-year-old boy, at dinner, he suddenly jumped out of his chair and got me in a headlock. And I thought, okay, what do I do? And I don't know if I even had time to pray, but I whispered in his ear, "I didn't know you loved me so much." And he screamed and let go and sat down, and we went on with our meal. Well, then there was Marvin. Marvin had been in the gangs in L.A., and he was a pitiful, pitiful child. When we wanted to bathe him, we had to just soap him up. I had a young man that helped me, and he would hold him under the shower. I'd soap him up, then we'd get the water on him, and then we'd take him to his room, and then we'd try to dress him. Well, it was a real fight. So then we'd leave him. He'd tear the whole room apart, pull all his clothes out of the closet, out of the drawers, lay down and go to sleep. And then we would go and put Marvin back together and put him to bed. Well, then there was an Alaskan Indian boy. I couldn't turn my back on him or he would attack me. I learned to put comic books on his bed so that he would have something to look at when he woke up. He said to me one day, "You know what? If I was just your boy, I would be okay." Anyway, I could go on. I won't tell you about all 14 of them. But it was a wonderful, wonderful school for me. I learned to depend on the Lord because I didn't know what on earth to do with most of them. I had one pitiful family. They had come home, and the father had killed the mother and himself, and they found him laying in blood. And they were sweet children. And, of course, every night I prayed with every one of those 14 kids, and it was a real job. But a year or two later, I was at a Bible camp, and here was a couple of those kids. And they stood up and gave their testimony how that I had prayed with them, and they had accepted Christ. Ah, God is faithful. God is faithful. All right, from there, I went to a completely different thing. I came back here to this area. And because of my background with troubled children, I was hired by the San Juan School District to be the dean's secretary. Oh, boy. That was back in the 70s. Lots of drugs. And so here I am with all these troubled children again. Sometimes they'd bring them to my office and leave them there for hours. They'd tear apart my office. So I'd have to go get things for them to put together, art supplies and so forth. Finally, the dean would come in and he'd say to me, "Edie, would you please take over? I just can't take it anymore." And he'd go into the cafeteria and leave me there. So then, what an opportunity, because I was able to talk to them about the Lord. It was so wonderful. I never got in trouble. A couple of years, I got a letter later, and this little girl said, "You know, I wish I'd listened to you and brushed my teeth. I have dentures now." Anyway, the Lord helped me so much. And by the way, I had also gone to medical school, so I had to play nurse. And so it was just interesting how that God took me, a weak, silly little kid, and just molded me and used me in all these different ways. Well, life went on. At age 70, my husband went deaf. And I thought, oh my goodness. So we got classes right away and we learned sign language enough so that we could talk. And of course, Jamie, she's an expert. But we learned so that we could at least converse. And then a lot of the young people in our church wanted to learn it. So every afternoon, they'd come home to our house, and we'd feed them, and then we'd practice sign language. Again, God was so wonderful. At 70, how could I learn another language? Have the smarts to remember all that? You know, God is faithful. Okay, I'm in my 80s. Not nearly as old as Joan here, but I'm getting there. So anyway, I just want to say that now at this age, the scriptures are more important to me than they ever were. I love to study, and I love to teach. And so anyway, that's my faithfulness of God. Now, what I wanted to do to encourage you is read to you from Titus. If I can read the fine print. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, what's our hope? Sure, not much in this old world. It's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Okay, I'll stop. But I just want to tell you that my son introduced me to something that I could do on my phone, and I want to tell you about it. You can punch in Behold Israel, and up comes the latest news from Jerusalem. This man tells you what's going on in Jerusalem. Every day he's got new news to tell you. And they have found Solomon's temple. They have found the places where the rings, where they tied the animals, and where the blood went down through these places. They have done their first sacrifice. Building is not built yet, but they're getting ready. You know, I think that's the last prophecy to be fulfilled, isn't it, Bill? Maybe. Anyway, Jesus is coming. It's exciting, okay? So he's faithful, and there's hope.
God is faithful indeed. If you'll please stand for our last song, In Christ Alone.
Alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, burn through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. Yeah.
Please remain standing.
That you're all standing, I can see eye to eye with all of you while I ask you a very personal question. I won't take time to survey and ask for individual answers, but you answer to yourself. How many of you read your scripture every day faithfully? If you don't do that, I would like to recommend it to you. There are many prepared scripture reading programs. And let me tell you a little secret. You can spend just 15 minutes a day reading your Bible, and you can read every word in the Bible in 1 year. There are several programs that do that. It's that easy. If you don't do it, you're missing a really good bet, folks. So, here's a part of that scripture that you will have read during your 15 minutes a day. This is from Psalm chapter 71, verse 5, and verses 17 and 18. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Verse 17. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, the younger ones, your power to all those to come. I look forward to a couple of you telling me about your 15 minutes a day.
I have the very great privilege of praying for the boys and girls, the children, here. So will you bow your heads with me, please? Father, I thank you so much for every boy and every girl, especially those that are here right now this evening and those that were not able to come. Lord, please bless their parents. Give them the wisdom to raise their children in such a way that they bring honor and glory to you. And give them patience, because sometimes they're going to need it. Lord, please help them in Sunday school, in the regular teaching school, in Awana, and in their homes. Please guide the parents and the children in the many choices they have to make. In every single situation, in every hour of the day. Please, Lord, prepare them for the future so that as they grow up, they can honor God and be a blessing to others. And Father, I pray with all my heart that each one of the boys and girls in this room, as well as the adults and teenagers, that you have asked, that they have asked you to be their Lord and their Savior. And so they will have your guidance every day, every moment of their life. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
I've been asked to pray for the church's ministry to those outside our walls, to those that don't know Christ, and for missions. But I do want to say one thing first. I have a vow of praise that I made a couple weeks ago, and I just want to say that I am standing here as an example that God answers prayer and that God heals and God has defeated sin and death and sickness and all the things that go along with it. Now, if Jesus doesn't come back, I know I'm going to die again someday, but I also know I'm going to live forever. And that is the message that we need to get out to the world. And that's what I want to pray about this evening. So let's pray together. God, our Father, and I'm so thankful that like Jesus, we can call you our Father. You are our Father because in Christ, we are your children, brought into your family through faith. But Lord, the world, everyone in the world, is also your children by virtue of the fact that you created every single one of them and you love every one of them. Lord, give us a heart that loves the world the way you love the world, not the way you tell us not to love the world. Lord, I pray that you would make your name holy and that we would have a part in that as Jesus did, as he walked around on this earth, making your name holy by living out your image in the power of the Spirit. Lord, I pray that as we sang this morning, that the presence of God in us would minister you to those around us. So, Lord, we pray for the extension of that blessing as we come together and we join the conversation that is going on in the Trinity 24/7, 365 days a year. Lord, help us as we join that conversation to have our lives beat, have our minds in tune with what the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are talking about. Lord, I pray that you would reach out, and as you have blessed us, that you would bless the world around us. Lord, I would pray that as Jesus prayed, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, may your will be done in El Dorado County. May your will be done in California. May your will be done in the United States of America. Lord, may that happen because your people in this church and the many other churches that gather together today, Lord, may that happen because we take your gospel out, not just in words, but in actions that reflect the actions of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be like the Apostle Paul as he went through Athens, hurt deeply by the idolatry that is all around him. Lord, we see that just on a little drive around here. We see idols. Lord, we see idols to Baal. We see idols to Mammon. We see idols to Caesar. Lord, I pray that our words and our actions would say, Baal is not God. Mammon is not what we worship. Caesar is not Lord. Jesus is Lord, and God reigns. Lord, may your will be done in Africa like it is in heaven. Lord, there are deep forces of evil, powers and principalities that you defeated on the cross. You announced their destruction. And I pray that your people in Africa, that you would give them strength, that they would understand that they have defeated those powers of darkness that seem so much on the surface in that country, the evil that goes on in the governments that we just heard about here a couple weeks ago, and you would overcome that. Lord, I pray that your will would be done in the Pacific Islands as it is in heaven. Lord, I think of our students and our graduates at PIU that go out and they're facing issues of spiritual warfare in everything they do, deep darkness that comes from the depths of hell. Lord, you've already defeated it. And I pray that they would go out, that the Holy Spirit would empower their words and their actions so that that defeat would be lived out in the churches there. Lord, I pray that your will would be done in South America as it's done in heaven. Lord, I pray again, the same kind of issues that are going on there with corrupt governments and churches that are growing in spite of that. Lord, throughout the world, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, make each one of us, wherever we go, outposts of your kingdom. As Christ rules in our hearts, as Christ's love is shed abroad in our hearts, I pray that it would go out to the community, that we would be examples of people that the world would look at us, even if they don't agree with us, and say, behold how they love one another, and behold how they love those that are very hard to love. May that be said of us as well. May we reflect you, and in doing so, may you change the world through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, amen. I hope you've been blessed tonight. Have you been blessed? I hope you've been encouraged to see the diversity we have between the generations just here in this body. I want to thank some of the young adults who came out who don't even attend here. They attend other churches, but they come to our study on Friday nights and participate in some of the activities that the young adults do, and they are, they're building relationships, and they're learning to grow up in the community of believers, and that's very exciting. So I would ask that you continue to pray for them and pray for that group. It's been a special blessing to see what God is doing in that, and it's been a special blessing to hear the testimonies and prayer of old and young saints. So with that, let's stand for our benediction and for our closing tonight. We're going to sing the doxology.